Welcome to Magic 8-Ball with Melissa and Michaela. I'm Melissa Withers, Managing Partner of RevUp Capital.
And I'm Michaela Camp, Director of Platform at RevUp.
Today, we are talking about the role of authenticity in early stage biz building and how the emergence of AI everywhere is driving a surge in the demand for authenticity. Every company needs an AI strategy to survive. But aside from how a company uses AI to create competitive advantage and operational efficiency, there's another side to AI that impacts us all. And I don't think we've talked about it enough yet. Certainly, we saw this a lot in 2024. You know, AI is driving up demand for authenticity, and now we crave it as individuals. We thirst to see it, especially when someone is trying to sell us something. You know, and I think in 2024, this burden of authenticity increased in challenging and expensive ways that we saw not only across our portfolio, but in all of the companies that we interact with. And the costs of being perceived as inauthentic have also skyrocketed. And I think demand for authenticity may have always been with us, but AI woke that dragon. As we're bombarded with AI agents, seeing and hearing about AI generated everything, many people have become understandably skeptical about the origin and authenticity of the messages that they're being sent. And this just isn't just about serving your market and winning over the trust of your customers. This demand for authenticity will come internally from your team members and your employees as well, because at the end of the day, we're just people, right? We're all experiencing this in the world, and we bring all of this into work, right? And I think the efficiency of AI the perceptions of authenticity are now table stakes for almost any sales and marketing that you do. Like if you can't be perceived as AI, even if you're not really being authentic, it's just not going to work, right? And you can't project authenticity by being technologically superior. You don't project it through features or like functionality. You have to project authenticity, through empathy, and you project authenticity by convincing someone that you understand and value their needs and desires, right? And while AI has made writing scripts and value props and kind of making the tactical creation of this material faster and more efficient, the work to finesse those outputs into something that resonates authentically has increased. And it's still, there's still a lot of that burden falls on the human. Michaela, you did a lot of work this year with our portfolio on the value of creating, emotionally driven content, content that connects as a way to drive action, with authenticity being central to that outcome. Can you just talk first a little bit about the foundations of that idea and like, what does it mean to have content that connects and why does it matter?
Yeah, let's start with why it matters. Attention spans are short. And you have less than 3 seconds to get someone to stop scrolling and pay attention. And anything less than being authentic and creating that connection falls short on creating any impression at all.
Yeah.
So that's true. That's where using emotionally driven copywriting can help, because it is how you write to connect. And by tapping into the emotions of an audience, companies can create compelling and resonant messages that will stand the test of time past the scroll. And learning to harness that power of emotions can be a company superpower.
Okay. So I get the why. Can you give talk a little bit more about like what exactly does it mean? What does it mean to create that?
Of course. So emotionally driven copywriting, it really is just about tapping into your audience's desires, fears, aspirations, instead of just solely presenting facts or features, right? So the goal is to evoke a specific emotion or reaction from your audience, making your message more relatable and memorable. And like, you can see this being done terribly, but when done well, this type of copy will evoke an emotion reaction from your people,
right?
Which will increase the chance they'll take an action, any action, but specifically the one you want them to take. So from happiness and joy to fear or anxiety and every emotion in between, any emotion can be used to evoke any action from your audience. And when people connect emotionally with your message, they're likely to remember it, share it, and take action.
And take action, with like... messaging without action, like doesn't
take action.
Yeah, you might as well burn money in a barrel. So like, even if you are using AI to support the production of this copy, which the robot can do really, really well, keeping it authentic is still hard. How are you training people to get better at this?
Yeah, I think it starts with having an understanding of your audience on a deeper level before you even begin writing, before you even begin how it's going to get written, right? You need to get a feel for what your audience is feeling, what they want, and what's essentially keeping them up at night.
Yeah.
Which essentially means you need to know exactly what's on their minds and leaning into the why.
Yeah. Like the emotion might be adjacent to the problem.
Exactly.
Right?
Because like,
yeah.
why are these emotions coming right. up? And yeah. why are these the specific yeah, challenges? Yeah. And why is it something they even care about? Right. And what I often recommend to teams is to take any insights they've done from any customer discovery process, ask those deeper questions of the like, okay, why are they feeling this way? And use them to create a detailed customer persona
yep.
and what I call an empathy map, which essentially is the map should outline their motivations and emotions throughout the entire yep. life cycle.
Which is different than the kind of demographic information exactly. that you'll see
it's
in
basically
a typical persona.
Like, yeah. What is getting them to look for a solution,
yeah.
what happens when they learn about solutions. It's essentially mapping that out. And what it does give you is a blueprint for crafting copy that connects on real emotional, on a real emotional level at like every step of the way, even after the point that they found a solution and they've
yeah.
chosen you. So that's like step one. But when it comes to the actual writing, a few things I think are essential. First is word choice. Like when you want to write in a way that is emotional, you have to focus on using emotionally charged language, right? Like that means you want words that stir up the right emotions and align with the message that you're conveying, not just a very functional feel.
Yeah.
The second is how are you framing those words? So are you emphasizing the benefits of taking action or are you calling attention to what
yeah,
happens
yeah,
if
yeah.
they don't? And this decision really shapes how you'll evoke the emotions and how you'll get them to take the action or what direction to go next. And lastly, like a really practical one that I like to tell our companies because it's one of my favorite things is honestly, it's okay to steal directly.
Put my words in your mouth.
Exactly. Steal directly yeah. from your customers. And I'm not talking about just quoting them because that's where you'll
yeah.
see people being like, oh, like, yeah, I have a testimonial. And it's like, no. Read the testimonial.
Yeah.
What
yeah, yeah.
words are they using? How are they phrasing
and
things?
Use those words.
Use those words yeah. when you write copy.
Absolutely.
Because
it's amazing how that people skip past that.
People skip past yeah, it.
It's a no-brainer.
But it's essentially, it's like if you are speaking their literal language.
Yes, literal, their
literal
language.
Their language,
yeah.
It makes,
well, you know it will resonate
because exactly.
they said it.
It makes it way more authentic and it feels real because someone else actually said it.
Yeah.
And honestly, to do this, as you mentioned, like we're currently seeing more companies integrating AI into the mix of
right.
like these outputs. But it's still the human touch that makes the connection between your audience and company real, right?
Yep.
So how are you seeing this balance unfolding in our portfolio companies?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's funny. It's the tsunami of AI has created this surge in demand yeah. for authenticity. And I guess some light at the end of the tunnel is you can use these AI tools, right? In order to do this. And AI can do a lot of the work. You know, if you've done the, like you said, the groundwork,
yep.
right? And you're feeding the right inputs in, you know, you can use AI to generate a lot of the language you mentioned above. But one thing the AI really still can't do effectively is tell that story for you, right?
Yeah.
And how a story gets told really matters. You know, for example, having a company brand feels a lot less authentic than it did 5 years ago. People don't want to hear value props from a logo, right? They want to hear it from a person, like yep. a real person. And like founders, that person is you, right? Personality-driven marketing isn't just for consumer brands anymore. No. It's not just about, you know, yoga pants and no. and makeup and sports drinks.
Literally,
you know,
everyone.
Like nobody wants to talk to a logo, right? And it was one thing to expect, you know, Steve Jobs to have a personal brand. But what does it mean when the CEO of an early stage software company has to have a fairly visible and reasonably polished personal brand that they're leveraging to share the company's point
yeah.
of view, right? It's just closely correlated to the way that AI has made EQ more important than ever. And in this sense, and this is really hard for the founders that are put in this position, you know, a major pathway to authenticity is to project empathy, not just expertise.
Yep.
And this is harder to do than you might think. Not every founder comes out ready to be the personal
No.
face of their brand or able to produce that kind of thought capital or even comfortable being on stage with a microphone, like going down that path. You know, so it, like no logos and brand reps are going to evoke that empathy. So the burden falls on the team. I saw a lot of great founders struggle this year with how to get that job done. And if the founders themselves, I saw the founders, you know, struggling to grow into this role and really, really trying hard, rolling up their sleeves, taking more risks. Because again, there's risk in this. If you're really using emotionally charged content, if you're being vulnerable, yep. if you're being honest, you're going to have to say things that somebody out there might not like. So a lot of founders really get struggling with this. Some of them, you know, struggling less and doing better, but really giving it their best shot. And, you know, when the founders really weren't right for the job, I saw them struggling with how to substitute for that. It's just hard to outsource that.
Yeah.
You have to look for other personalities in your team that can fill the role, right? But you can't like hire an actor to play you.
Exactly.
You know, on LinkedIn. It's not, it just doesn't really work. And it's a missing skill set that's missing for many really great founders. And developing that skill set or substituting for a lack of it is a real cost driver today inside of even the smallest company. And I think it's something we need to support founders better around.
Yeah. And that's an excellent point. And I, to the point that you made before, like I know something many founders have asked me when going on this journey of being the face, right? Is how do you ensure emotional storytelling resonate authentically without being manipulative or forced, right?
Because
there is a fine line.
Dick.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, how do you not feel like a paid actor?
Yeah. You know, how do you not feel like a paid actor? Yeah.
And for me, authentic emotional storytelling is all about finding the balance between vulnerability and transparency while staying true to your values and message, right? For example, the best stories don't evoke emotion just for the sake of a reaction. They connect with the audience
because they should.
It's a shared experience, a shared struggle, or a shared triumph, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's the reason we get so frustrated when we fall for clickbait, because we're not actually responding to a genuine bid for connection. We're responding to a trick for a reaction.
Yeah.
Right? So when you're telling a story, whether in a marketing campaign or in a pitch, right, it should feel like you're inviting an audience into a moment with you.
Yeah.
You're in it together. And it's not about just like having them have all these feels and tugging at the heartstrings. It's about being genuine and sharing the experience, because then the story will align with your purpose. If it doesn't align with your purpose, it becomes more obvious, right?
It's so true.
Another way I describe this to our founders is I describe any interaction you have with a customer as a value exchange between you and your customer, any way that they interact with you. And the question that I will ask myself is, what are they gaining from listening to your story? And why does that matter to them? And if you can answer those in a way that isn't just about getting a response or getting a sale, you are more likely to have more impact.
That's a great screen to use to test whether something is worthy of putting out there. Can you identify the value transaction in that communication?
And like, why does it matter? And in when you have those answers, it comes from a more authentic place, because you are actually thinking through it. And honestly, as we've kind of mentioned, it's like when you're clear about your company's message and your values and the people you're speaking to, that becomes easier to emotionally connect them, because you understand them on a deeper level than just like, they'll buy my product.
You know, I think what's tough for founders is you have to get good at all of this while talking to your customers and your peers and your stakeholders and other people in your industry. And then you also have to get better at projecting authenticity to your internal team.
Exactly.
Right? It really is a two-sided marketplace in that sense. You know, what we experience outside of work, you know, in this sense, a growing sense that everything is a computer-generated message that just is designed to trick me into buying something. You know, I think we come into the work environment and we are less tolerant of behaviors that seem opaque, right? And authenticity, I think at work kind of translates into a growing demand for transparency, right? Radical transparency, if you're interested, the other episode. You know, and I think leaders who lean into that, you know, end up, create environments, you know, where trust and collaboration kind of thrive. And when people feel like they're in the loop, they're more engaged, or a little more resilient, a little more likely to stick with it. And as we talked about in another episode, transparency reduces drama a little bit, right? So I think, you know, AI has made many things faster, cheaper, and easier. But in doing so, the burden of authenticity increased in ways that AI cannot solve for. And one thing AI still can't do is pay for things for us, AI has an empty wallet. There are no bucks in the robot's wallet.
Correct.
And I think when we're doing planning right now for 2025 and beyond with our companies, you know, you have to have really deep conversations about what efforts and activities do you need to undertake to ensure that you're really building that authentic, transparent, you know, messaging. Yeah. And it might cost money. Like, it's, this stuff isn't free.
No.
Right. And founders aren't going to wake up one day able to produce all the materials that are required. They might need training, coaching. You might need outside folks to come in and help you produce these materials. And this, it's something that there almost needs to be a line item now in the, you know, even above the marketing and sales budget, yeah. Right? Like in the C-suite that talks about, you know, how is even a small company, like larger companies have kind of brand budgets, right? Company brand budgets. Smaller companies now, I think, need to be thinking about, even if it's just time and not money, yep. What are you investing into now so that you are not falling behind the curve?
Exactly.
Right? That, again, it's just 5 years ago, I didn't need you to be good at this. Today, I do.
Yeah.
Well, Michaela, since 2024 taught us that logic, reason, and history are useless in guiding human decision-making, I think it's time we just do what all we can do, which is turn to the magic eight ball for guidance.
All right. Magic eight ball. Let us know. Is authenticity a skill that can be taught? It is certain.
You can teach someone how to be authentic. Actually, you do it every day in the work that you do with our companies. So
fair.
Every time you touch the magic eight ball, it gives you good news. I think this
just really likes me.
This magic eight
ball. We're best friends.
Yeah, has really found its home. So
yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
You can learn to be authentic too. One step at a time.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.